I would just like to amen everything that I've heard these last few days. What, like you said, it's been quite a download. The hour's late. These have been long days. I'm tired. I know you're all tired. So I thought if you'll allow me, I would actually give a benediction first, which I hope refreshes you, and you'll bear with me for the very brief message that I have to share. I believe it's important. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen. I wanted to speak today to you about what I refer to as perhaps the forgotten mode of abolition, which is assistance. Not entirely, but I believe to the degree that it's needed and necessary, it has been neglected to some degree. I'm glad that Wesley brought up and actually named the two modes of assistance and agitation. I apologize if I employ the mode of agitation about the mode of assistance a little bit tonight. Forgive me. It's not my intention necessarily. This is a thing that I do have some experience in. I don't generally speak a lot about my testimony, my life, but I think it's appropriate to the message I have to share. I wanted to share another thing, not just specifically about assistance, but and it's very brief, but I think very important. So I was born again in a very small country church in far northern Wisconsin. About almost 25 years ago, I was a younger man. I was lost, pothead, lonely, a sinner, without hope, and I knew it. But I was born again in that small church, and my life changed. I was, my whole universe inside was changed. And they embraced me in that small country church and became my family. And they were very precious to me. I had to leave behind all of my old friends because now I was the Jesus guy. Well, about a year and a half after that, I was growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and my life was becoming something far more beautiful than I ever imagined it could be. A man came to our church on a Wednesday evening and showed a video, a very short video. It was called The Hard Truth. And I'll be honest with you, I was very confused. This video just is very brief, but it shows pictures of these little children who've been murdered. And it was very hard for me to process what I was seeing. And then one image came on the screen, and it was of a very tiny little hand. And it looked exactly like my one-year-old son's hand. And in that moment, I knew exactly what I was seeing. God pierced my heart. I felt for that little child who I'd never met, as I do for my son, Caleb. And that set me on the path to be here today with you. So I was super excited. Before you knew it, I was out on the street in front of an abortion mill in Duluth, Minnesota. And I thought, the church is going to get it. This family that loves me, they've accepted me. I'm going to share this with them. They're going to come on out. We're going to end this thing. It's going to happen. Anyone ever have that feeling? Zeal is good. As you can imagine, it didn't quite go the way I had anticipated. And not too much after that, they showed me the door. And that hurt. You know, and then God took me out to the woodshed for quite a while. You know, my heart wasn't right to those people. The spirit that I had with them was not right. I didn't realize that at the time. But God showed me that. Then a little less than 10 years ago, we started to attend a local congregation in Washington. And we made, meaning my wife and I, made some decisions. One, we would not ask for anything of our pastor or our church other than that they speak the truth, preach the Bible. And that we would, by the grace of God, be perfect examples of servanthood in Christ. I mean, if we found out that the toilets were dirty and we didn't clean them, shame on us. My wife has spent thousands of hours in the dungeon of a nursery downstairs, only because it's small and dark, filled with wonderful children. We prayed. I had a singular prayer that the pastor would allow me to preach, but I never asked. But we served and hoped. Operation Save America had an event in Rochester. I really wanted to go, but we couldn't afford it. And so I was in the shower one morning, the day I would have flown out, a Tuesday. And I was kind of angry at God as I'm washing my hair. Well, thanks a lot, God. You know, I really wanted to go. And then the phone rang as I'm tallying off, and it was my pastor. And he said, David, I have a question for you. Would you ever want to preach? And I said, yeah. He said, how about this Sunday? And I said, yeah. And I hung up and I had to repent. I said, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Here I wanted to go listen to this madman Rusty yell at me in the most loving and erudite fashion. But God had a better thing in mind for me, and that it was the prayer of my heart for many, many years. I asked my pastor, is there any parameters? Because he knew the work we did on the street. He said, no, you preach whatever the Lord puts on your heart. And I did. Through that experience, over 100 people from the congregation joined us on the streets. Our pastor, through the years, now he fully embraces the work. He'll be out on the streets with me when I get home. And many, many, many others in our congregation have had their eyes opened and the flame of their hearts reignited. And it's been a wonderful thing. We need the local congregation.
Yes, we do.
And I got news for you. They need us. Look, if God has opened your eyes, if God has given you some light, some revelation, if God has given us some light, then we should be all the more long-suffering, all the more servants of Christ and of our brethren. We should not reject rejection, suffering, misunderstanding, even having evil spoken of us by those we love. This is a wonderful opportunity for the cross to work within us, for us to share with the one who was abandoned by all his friends. If we would win our brothers and sisters, we must follow our master's example. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. If God has given us riches of knowledge that perhaps he has not revealed to other brothers and sisters, we must be willing to become poor for their sakes. This is the economy of heaven. The weak bend to help the strong bend to help the weaker. The rich give to the poor. Those whose eyes have been opened to a greater degree lead their brothers out of the shadows. It's so very easy to find fault. The church needs you. So when I first, even though you didn't claim to be an abolitionist, I will make this public statement today that I consider myself an abolitionist. Though I've always held, since seeing that little hand, the understanding of what it really was. But I understand the importance of separating from what has failed for decades. When I first looked into the five tenets and two modes, I was thrilled to see that the first was assistance, because my experience on the streets ministering to people was that the needs are endless. So what is a mode? A mode is defined as a way or manner in which something occurs or is expressed or is done. Modes can be fluid. They change depending on the need, on the progression toward the goal. A manner, a way in which something is done. That something is the goal. That something is the end of this insanity, the end of legalized murder. The abolition of abortion is the goal. About within the last 2 years, I saw a Facebook Live video by Russell Hunter, who in his inimitable way packed 5 minutes of teaching into 45 minutes. But I very much appreciated it. It was worth it. It was worth it. But what he mentioned was that really there's a third mode that what needed to begin, and that was education. And then today, Wesley spoke of another mode. You could call it the fourth one. That's advocacy. So agitation is something that has to happen at the beginning. If this is where we are or started and this is the goal, agitation is absolutely necessary to wake people up, to stir the pot, to get people thinking, to tear down the deception. At some point, education must take a greater role as people are awakened, as people start to question the status quo. Education becomes vital, and I believe we're in a season of that. Agitation must still take place. But ideally, as we move toward the goal, agitation diminishes as education, the need for education increases. But I would submit to you the need for assistance comes at the beginning and carries through the whole way. The whole way. And indeed, I would submit that a good case could be made that the need for assistance increases. tenants are not fluid. The Latin root of the word tenant could be translated, he holds. Tenants are things we hold, the five tenants. But modes are fluid. So why assistance? Why is assistance important? First of all, it's the right thing to do. Okay? This is the religion that is pure and undefiled in the sight of our God and Father. To visit the orphan and the widow in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. This is the work of the church. Look, assistance is not evidently glorious, and it's very costly. Look, you can go out in the street and shake things up and post it on Facebook and get the fix. Yeah, it encourages people. It's a good thing to do. But it is possible that it can become something it shouldn't. It's much more difficult with assistance. I have never been tempted to post a Facebook Live video of my wife changing the 1,000th diaper for the month for all the little children she cares for. I've never thought about posting that my daughter slept on the floor so that a pregnant woman could have her room. It is not glorious work. I woke up this morning with 20 souls on my heart. 20 mouths, 20 lives that need shelter. God will meet the need. I would encourage you to take a long-term vision. A year and a half ago, after 3 months of trying to talk God out of it, we opened up a home for moms who are homeless and pregnant and have rejected abortion. We currently have these wonderful women and their babies. They attend church every Sunday. They're growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. It's not glorious work. It's a lot of drama. I mean, ministry opportunity. It's a lot of stress. But here's some ancillary benefits to assistance. I should say these are ancillary benefits that assistance lends to the other modes. Okay? It opens doors. All right? There are 80-year-old ladies in the congregation I attend, and they are not going to be out in front of Planned Parenthood holding a sign. They're not going to the Gay Pride Festival. That's just not going to happen. They care. They're thrilled to learn they could hold a baby. They're delighted to mentor these young ladies, to give maybe $5 a month. There are those who are capable of going out but are afraid, but they will get on board with helping people. And what that does is it gets their feet wet, and it gives you an opportunity to speak into their lives, and they can see, wow, this is making a difference. And it starts the wheels turning. And the scriptures become alive. It takes Christianity out of the abstract and into the concrete. It opens doors. You know what else it does? It shuts mouths. We've all heard it. Well, how many women did you take care of this? How many babies did you feed? How many children did you adopt? I just laugh. I don't even answer. I just praise the Lord, go home, and pray. God help us. Look, I hope to inspire within some of you a desire to seek the Lord about how perhaps you could take this battle to another level, perhaps something you've never considered. I never dreamed that we would have a home with all these wonderful ladies in it. But God has met our needs. He'll meet your needs abundantly if He leads you to serve in this way. So we would do well to labor with a long-term plan. And I think assistance is vital. It's so easy to rip on the crisis pregnancy centers. Yeah, and there's a lot of things they're doing wrong. Believe me, I know. We founded a ministry 3 years ago called Abundant Life. Co-founded it with some other believers. Every month, we have all the gospel-centered ministries that serve in any area of life. We get together for a meeting. You know what that's done? It's amazing. I can speak into these people's lives. One woman, dear lady who I love, she brought up a bill that they're trying to pass in Washington State. It will never pass. But it's a parental notification bill. And she spoke, and I love this woman, and I told her, you know, thank you, I appreciate your heart. But what an opportunity with all of the leaders of these ministries there to say, have you ever considered that maybe this is fatally flawed? You know, when it says the purpose of the bill is to preserve the integrity of the family, but it allows for abortion as long as mom and dad know. You see, if you build those long-term relationships with people, recognize them as brothers and sisters that perhaps need a little guidance out of the shadows because God has given you light. You can do wonderful things. We've seen fruit. I'll finish with this, but we had another area we worked, and I believe this is so important, church. Everything that we do has a secondary purpose. I shouldn't say secondary, a dual purpose, and that's to motivate, to activate the body of Christ, to arouse the church from its slumber. So we just had a meeting with over 25 pastors, local pastors. Because of the work of assistance that we do, I was able to get into their relationships with them. And we had a pro-life apologetics forum where I told these pastors, come in, we'll teach you how to minister to your congregation and to people you meet concerning the issue of abortion. Okay, when they came, I didn't give them the pro-life thing. We didn't talk about fetal development. We didn't talk about any of that. I spent 2 hours showing them the foolishness of what we've done for the last 46 years. And they received it. So don't give up on the church. Find a local congregation if you're not a part of it and go there. They need you. They need you. And be a servant. Pray and ask God to make you perfect. He's able. God bless you. I love you. Press on. This has been such a blessing.